Good morning, everybody. This is Fred Meissner with the Fred Report conference call for July 8, 2010. I guess the first thing to say is, so far the market is doing about what we thought. We did break through that 1040 area on the downside on the S&P, traded down there for a couple of days, and now we're back above it, and I think we started this rally. This may go down in history as one of the best cutout lows ever, cutout being defined as a move below and then above the major support. It looks like the market is acting pretty good. It also looks like the other markets are acting about as we have been thinking they were going to. As part of that acting well, though, I don't want to see the market run away on the upside. I'd rather see us trade around sort of sideways, move back down towards 1040, move back up, et cetera. But I think next week is going to be a really strong week the way we're setting up. And it looks like, that's really what we should be looking for. Sentiment is still extremely negative. Anecdotal sentiment is even worse. And I do call everyone's attention to the fact that we are still technically in a downtrend until the market goes through 1140. Now, what may happen, what I'm sort of anticipating to have happen, is this market goes through 1140 and then everyone starts to get bullish. Round about 1160, 1170, more people get bullish, and then the market has a correction, and then the next move up after that correction will take us back into the 1200 area on the S&P and possibly new highs for the year. But this is what we needed to see to bring all of the indicators down to get them in position to rally, and so I'm pretty happy with the action here. Looking at the bond market, right now the TLT has cracked below 100. My guess is that it's probably going to sit here, but that we're on the way back to 91 or 92 on the TLT, and that rates will normally peak, as they always do, in the fall. I still am not a big short on these T-bonds. Seasonally, they really don't start to fall off until September, October. But I would be taking my capital gains in the T-bond area, and I would be looking at high-grade corporate bonds with the idea of investing clients' bond money, because I think there's a little less risk in that area. One other thing I would note, we've noted in the letter, but the high-yield area, the HYG, as we follow in the Fred Report, has been following the stock market pretty closely until the last few weeks, and now it's much stronger. If you are a gutsy sort of person and you want to buy high-yield bonds, junk bond funds, that sort of thing, that's probably going to work. That's not the sort of thing that I do or recommend generally, but that's probably going to work if you've got clients that want to try that. It looks like the last few days has been an optimal time to do that. It looks like that's still going to work. The HYG, currently at 86.23 roughly, could approach the 90 area and could even break out above the 90 area. I think that would be a big surprise to almost everybody. That could be an excellent trade. Looking at the gold market, gold I thought would come down a little bit. It's come down much harder than I thought it would come down. I'm still looking for 114 to 115 on the GLD. I was looking for that a couple of months from now, and we're about a point and a half away from it. So I would say on dips in this gold towards 114, 115, if you sold your position out in the 120s, you can start to add back, but realize, again, this market's probably going to be strong into the end of the year and not now. Looking at the oil market, the USO is back above 33, 34 here. Any move back above 35, 36, I think it's going back to 40. That could happen if the euro continues to do well, and we're expecting that. Before we get to the currencies, though, we're going to take a look at natural gas, which is sort of just sitting, but it looks pretty good in the 771 area on the UNG. Gas prices are starting to go up, I've noticed, and I think that we can see ultimately 9 to 960 on that ETF. Now, as far as the foreign currencies go, the euro is basically flirting with that 126 area we've been discussing. We've been above it. We've been below it. Currently, we're above it again. My guess, though, is the euro is set to move to 130. Recall that all this market turmoil was started and caused by problems with the euro and the eurozone. Looking at that market, looking at the EWG, which is Germany, looking at Spain, forgetting about the World Cup, by the way, but looking at Germany, Spain, Italy, France, these markets are all actually outperforming the S&P right now, short term. I think these European fears are over, and so I think you're going to see dollar depreciation or decline, euro appreciation, and commodities up, and that should be good for the markets as a whole. So, you know, to reiterate, bullish on stocks, but not wildly so immediately, but thinking that we could have hit the lows for the year. And we still like the international stuff, which is actually outperforming, and we like the euro versus the dollar. The dollar could trade all the way back down to 80 to 82 on the dollar index when the euro goes up. The euro is the biggest component of that dollar index. So we're pretty interested in that and excited about it. We're going to turn to some individual stocks now. We added BBT to our list, back to our list. The stock is down about a point from where we added it. We continue to like that stock, although we do not like financials. We've had a lot of questions for people, what can we do for financials, what can we do for yield, and I think that's one of the better banking stocks out there. We're using a short-term target of 29.90-something, around 30. We think the stock can do that pretty easily, and if it really gets going, I think we can get that stock back up into the 34 area. It is my favorite bank. In the oil companies, Chevron is one of my favorites. We've got that on our list. We're just about break even on that stock. Again, remember we added that one a little early, even though we thought we'd break 1040. We added it before in case we did not. That stock looks like it could make it into the 74-75 area and then up into the 80 area. We like the looks of that. We traded and are trading United Technologies. We're profitable on that. We're using a target of 68.50 on that short term and into the 73.50 area. Longer term, if this market does go back to all-time highs, this stock looks good. It's outperforming the S&P. It has not broken through the same lows that the 1040 area represents the S&P. It's actually been a little bit stronger, and this is a wonderful name, and we do like technology in that area. This is a great little company, actually a great big company. In terms of little stocks and little companies, we have Panel, P-A-N-L, on our list. This is a great technical chart. The product is interesting, but a little bit confusing. It's a little bit risky, frankly, because it is a smaller stock. I would trade this one rather than just sit with it. You know, one of the problems with our list is the way we have to add and subtract stocks so that people can see that. Usually there are several successful trades after we put a stock on our list. I'd be, with this list, a little bit aggressive, and as we roll out some sector stuff, we're going to have some stocks that are going to be designed more for holding and for relative performance. But this panel looks good. If this panel can get through 1951 or so, I think it can make it to 22. And if it were to make it through 22, I'm not sure where we would be looking, probably 25, 26. But if this stock were to make it through 22, I think it would be difficult to find another stock of its caliber. That's my bad joke for the call. Devon Oil, questions on some of the oils. Devon has been on our list. We took it off. Took a profit in it. We're probably looking at adding that stock back in the 61-62 area. The target remains 67-69 short term. We like this name. It's a great trader. We've had some questions on Apple, which came down into our short-term target area of 250. It actually got to 245. I think Apple's on its way back to 280 and possibly a little bit higher because it has held support. A high flyer that we've had a lot of questions on for trading purposes is Netflix, which is a great-looking chart, NFLX. This stock looks like it's on its way back to 126 at least, possibly 128 to 132. Again, a little risky and a bigger price name, but we like it. LVS, a stock that we've had a lot of questions on. Stock has held support in the 2021 area. I think it's going back to 25.50. possibly to our long-term target of $30. ExxonMobil, we've had some questions on. That stock has been trading a little bit weaker than Chevron, but it's back above support at 59, and the stock had hit 63. I'm not using ExxonMobil because it's weaker than Chevron, but if you have it, it looks fine. We've had some questions on CHK, which is a way to play the natural gas market. It did come down and act a little bit better than some of the other oil stocks. Chesapeake can make it probably to 2310 to 2380, and we'll take a look at it. In the consumer discretionary space, which is one of my favorites, McDonald's has been one of my favorite stocks in that area. It's held to 65 area support. It could go back to 70 if the market does well fairly easily, and I think 74, 75 ultimately. Another restaurant we've had some questions on, trading a little bit weaker but still okay, is Cracker Barrel, CBRL. I think this is probably an avoid for me. I'd much rather buy McDonald's, but if you're in Cracker Barrel, let's see if we can get the stock up to $49.50 or so, and then give me a call, and we'll see what we can do about taking that one off. And with that, I guess we will pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz for some questions.
Hey, Brad, got a couple questions for you before we open it up to everyone. First question is more a philosophical question. Why is it that most technicians don't get bearish until we've come down to really, really low levels, and they won't get positive until, as you pointed out, we go back above the 1140 level? And the second part of that question for you is, it seems that like on Tuesday, when we had a lot of difficulty, either Tuesday itself or over the weekend, a lot of people, some pretty high well-known ones, like example, like Barton Biggs, they threw in the towel. And is that kind of a potential bottoming sign? So kind of two questions for you.
Okay, let me answer those questions. I guess the answer to Jeff's first question is most technicians try to play, you know, solid trending moves, i.e. uptrends or downtrends. And usually when you break support, that sort of confirms that you're in a downtrend, and that's why you would be bearish. And I do that sometimes as well, honestly. But in this case, for me, we decided to go with the idea of a divergence bottom because of some of what our indicators were saying. If you try to trade the way I did, i.e. buying in what is technically a downtrend, when it works, it's great, but sometimes it doesn't work, and I think most technicians and such are not willing to do that. They want to play the trend. That's why so many technically attractive stocks, people are buying the new highs list, something which I eschew, as it were. I just don't see that as being a viable strategy. It's worth noting the William O'Neill method, the Canslim method, became very popular at the end of the 90s when a lot of these people were coming up as stock traders. It's also worth noting, with all due respect to William O'Neill, who's done amazing things in this business and who I certainly don't want to denigrate, William O'Neill has had three mutual funds that have used the Canslim method. And one of the reasons he's had three is because they have not done well. The fact is, buying new highs works pretty well about 30% of the time. Normal markets trade sideways at least 50%, and some trade 70% of the time in a sideways pattern rather than a straight trending pattern. And most technicians try to play for that trending type move rather than sideways moves. Now, as to why Barton Biggs and those guys would throw in the towel, obviously, there's a lot of pressure on you if you're managing money and the market's going down and down and down. And my feeling is he finally just couldn't take the pressure anymore. You know, my way of doing it is a little bit different. I'm willing to sell out on, you know, and sell out early rather than try to catch the last little bit of a trend. And I'm willing to try to buy early as we've done over the last few days. But remember the old aphorism in Chicago, the pioneers are the ones with the arrows in their backs.
There you go. That's a good one. Well, to kind of paraphrase what you're saying as well, you are willing to kind of buy low and sell high too, correct?
Yes. I think that there's ways to do that technically as well as fundamentally, but it's not what normal technicians do, and it is a little bit risky, and I'm the first person to admit that myself.
And one good way to do that is with stochastics. And for people that weren't on a call a couple weeks ago, we'll put on Monday's piece kind of a listing of that. Fred and I had a very long discussion about stochastics, so you would agree with that, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. But again, you have to be willing to take more risks.
Okay, follow up, kind of the opposite of what we've been talking about is people that are short. What would your thoughts be for people that are short right in here?
Well, I would be nervous, and what I would say is the hope for the shorts is that the stochastics, for example, move all the way back up into the sell area, and the S&P does not go through 1140, which is 114 on the spider. Were that to happen, being short would be the right place to be, but you're going to have some pain. In other words, this market should rally at least to 112 on the spider from 106.83 while you're short, while you're waiting to see if that happens, and while you remain in that downtrend. That's not what I would be doing here myself, but it's what they're going to have to do. And if you're really bearish, that's what to do. I just don't think it's the right thing to do.
Great. I think that's a great way to answer that question. Next question for you is, for the week so far, the S&P is up 3.69 and the Russell's up 2.12. Today we're getting a little change in that. The Spider's up 68 basis points and the IWM is up right now about 125 for the day so far. Do we need to see that trend break for you to get really positive to see the Russell reassert itself, or is it okay for large cap to lead now?
It's okay for large cap to lead now, but I'm not so sure it would. Recall when we first started talking about it last year that you generally have 2 years of small to mid cap outperformance as you're coming out of a recession before large caps sort of take over. We've had about 1.5 years of that, so we are statistically in the range where that could change. But I do like to see the broader market leading. I think that one thing that's been very, very interesting about this decline is that in the last 3 weeks, 2 of the last 3 weeks have had positive new highs, new lows as we've declined. And that tells me that some of the big fund managers remain positive and are willing to buy some stocks that are a little bit more speculative. So my guess is what's going to happen is the S&P is going to make it through 1140, which is 114 on the spiders, and at that time the Russell and the mid-cap are probably going to do a little bit better. I would also say that as speculative money comes in from abroad, that speculative money in Europe and Asia may go into U.S. small and mid-caps rather than emerging markets simply because of the currency risk, perceived currency risk.
Excellent. Kind of a question related to that is the dollar, and you've kind of touched on this, the dollar could go down to 82. For stocks to do really well in here, do we have to have the dollar get really weak again like we did in 2009? Or can it just kind of, you know, be choppy?
I think it can be choppy. Honestly, guys, if you really go back and look over time, there's no correlation to the dollar and stock price movement whatsoever.
It's just that the media has kind of made it seem that way recently, correct?
Yeah, frankly, they focus on certain things at certain times, but I don't think there's any real correlation between the dollar and stock prices.
Last question before we open it up to everyone to hit you with additional things, stocks to look at or concepts. What should we be looking to buy? Some people kind of espouse coming in buying the stuff that's been pounded the most. Some people say continue with the things that have done well. What is your kind of philosophy on that with how the market is right now?
Well, I guess I'll answer that this way. If I were a financial advisor investing for the next 6 months for clients, I would be looking to buy the stuff that is outperforming over the last 6 months. So I'd still be buying technology stocks, consumer discretionary stocks as my favorite sectors, and buying the leaders, the ones that have not come down the most. If I were a real aggressive trader and willing to trade in and out quick, I might try to buy some stuff that's pounded, and get rid of it real quick for short-term bounces. One thing I would do, though, if I were trying to buy stocks like that, is I would check and see when the earnings are coming because sometimes these stocks are down because bad earnings are expected, and if they're right, you'll see a big drop on the earnings again, even if it's down. An excellent example of that is Micron MU, which we traded one time, and which basically looked really, really great, but was down below the highs, wasn't leading the markets anymore, and had bad earnings, and was down over 20% on those earnings.
Excellent. So at this point, we'll open up the call for questions for Fred. Remember to hit *6, and then you'll be able to ask your question. Any questions for Fred?
Fred, could you take a look at, I'll tell you, it's PIO, Paul Ivory Oscar.
PIO, that's the water portfolio.
Correct.
Okay. Dean, that looks very good. It's also outperformed the S&P. It did not break down through the June lows on this. If that were to move above 1740, I think the stock could head back to 1860. I like this idea, Dean. I think it's going to work.
Thank you.
More questions for Fred?
Fred, what do you think of Teva?
Let's have a quick look at Teva. With the caveat being that the pharmaceutical stocks all look pretty terrible here. This is one of the better looking names in that area, and if the stock were to get above 55.50, you've got a chance at 58. So if you're looking to buy a pharmaceutical stock, this one and Bristol Myers is the other one that I would buy. Bristol Myers is the best looking one in that group. But I am not wildly enamored of pharma. I think that some of these stocks, just look terrible.
So if you hold it, would you sell it or hold on to it?
At this point, I would see if we can get a bounce in the stock up closer to 55, and then I would take a look at selling it. You know, I understand if you're running a sector-based portfolio that you've got to have some stocks in healthcare, and this is one of the better-looking ones in that area. But if I were just looking to invest in a stock for the purpose of investing in one, I'm not sure this would be what I would be doing.
And what about Home Depot?
Home Depot looks much better. It's had a nice pullback, but long-term, this stock can get to be interesting here. It's basically holding the December-January lows and the February lows, and it's even almost an uptrend. And the weekly stochastics are way down. I think you could buy Home Depot with a stop at 25.50 and possibly run it back up to 32 if the market starts to go here.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly.
More questions for Fred?
Hey, Fred, there was a small gap today in the SPX. Do you think that might get filled today, tomorrow?
Yes, I do. That's a very good question, Julia. One thing I would mention, when you're looking for gaps in the marketplace, Julia, it's usually a little bit better to use the SPY ETF, and there is a gap there as well, so I would expect that to be filled. There's a quirk sometimes in the way quote machines return quote opening quotes on the basic indexes. Oftentimes that gap is erased during the day because they just move the open on the day to the previous close. So if you're looking to trade that opening gap, I would be looking at the SPY or the stock index futures, but that is a good question. I would actually like to see a little bit of a down day today, sort of a choppy day where we close down a little bit today and not just run away on the upside. Keep everybody a little bit nervous and keep them guessing.
Thanks, Fred.
Hey, Fred, this is Tom. Good morning. How you doing?
Fine, Tom. How are you this morning?
Great. Well, I'm going to be in Winona Monday and Tuesday, so I got to come back with my old standard of Fastenal.
Right.
And then also Oshkosh Truck, OSK.
Well, let's take a look at Fast first. That's going to be hard to say if I say that three times fast. Fastenal has basically held the June lows and is outperforming the S&P by a little bit because it did that. This looks like a fairly wide-ranging consolidation between 40 and 55. My recollection is that the stock, I think this stock can make it to 55.50 back again. If I were looking to buy the stock, this is where I would do it. And the question really is, where can it go if it goes through 55? And the answer is probably 61, but I do like this one. And what was the other one, Oshkosh? What's the symbol on that?
O-S-K.
S-K. That one needs to show some get up and go here, Tom. It needs to get back above 32 and pretty quick, because it's actually trading more in line with the Russell, which has not yet really gone through the June lows. Honestly, this is an avoid to me unless we get it back above 32, 33 pretty quick. If you owned it and the market looks like it's going to do well next week, I'd stay with it and look to see how it's doing at the end of next week.
Okay,
and give Mike my very best. Those bun candy bars at that little gas station, I still remember that, trying to find those things.
We got you.
Hey, Fred, it's Jeff.
Jeff, how are you?
Great, great, thanks. Let me take a look at LINTA.
LINTA, which is Liberty Media Interactive Class A.
Yep. You see any momentum changes?
That looks pretty, that frankly doesn't look like it's doing very well, Jeff. Until that stock gets back above 12, it's probably, I don't see any reason to buy it, put it that way. It is on support, but I don't like the fact that the last 2 weeks have been some of the biggest down bars in the whole pattern going back all the way to 2009. So there may be some bad news on this. This is one I would probably avoid, Jeff.
Okay, and then how about UNH?
UNH. This is another one of those ones, again, healthcare, which as we've already said is not my favorite area. That said, though, this is a better-than-average-looking healthcare stock, although it did go below the June lows. I think this can make it to 31.50, and again, if I were running a sector-based portfolio and I had to have a healthcare stock, this is one I could do.
Okay, thanks.
And Jeff, by the way, you're from where bun candy bars are made, so you and Tom ought to have a little talk about this. Love those things.
More questions for Fred? If not, then I think what we'll do is we'll conclude our call for this week, and I'll turn it back over to Fred.
Okay. I will shut the call off in a minute. I do know sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get through. A couple of people on last week's call tried to ask questions, and I turned it off too quickly. So we'll give a little tiny bit of wait time here.
Fred, it's Jeff Beach in Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm new to the call, and I wanted to ask about SunTrust. We have a pretty substantial concentrated position there, and it's been behaving interesting lately with some potential takeover news.
Yes. SunTrust has actually, the key level on SunTrust, unfortunately, Jeff, please don't kill me, is exactly where it is now, this 24 to 25 area. And the reason I say that from a technical perspective is the June lows are right down in here, and we're through that. This is acting a little bit better than some of the other banks. And the real key on this one, Jeff, is can the stock make it up through 25, 20, 26 by next week? If it can do that, I think it's probably fine. In terms of banks, this is probably a hold. Honestly, Jeff, the reason I'm doing BB&T rather than SunTrust is the yield. But if I were in SunTrust, I'd give it a chance to get up to 26.20 or so. If it doesn't do that, call me during the week, next week, and we'll come up with some sort of a call writing strategy for you. You might be able to do some covered calls on this. Might be a good play.
In fact, we're doing quite a few covered calls, so.
Yeah, I had a funny feeling I'd be doing that. So you need to call me on that. I know you're a new subscriber, and part of your subscription is to call me when you want or email me when you want. So don't be bashful about doing that, please.
Sounds great. Thank you.
And give everyone in that office my best. I remember that meeting I did there with Joe Lyles. That was a lot of fun.
Would love to have you back anytime.
Okay. I'll be in South Carolina. I'll let you know.
Thanks.
Other questions? Okay. Then what I'm going to do is conclude the call. So this has been the Fred Report conference call for July 8th, 2010. Thank you for participating, and look for an exciting week next week.